10 hours on my feet, traffic, noise, everybody needs something from me. My head is spinning. I just need the world to stop for 1 second. But then I get home, shoes off, phone out, and I open Modo Casino. Hundreds of slots, classic table games. It's my instant reset. The variety I want in the quiet I need.
Modo Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Modo.us for more details. Download the Modo Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Modo Casino. America's social casino.
If you're feeling anxious, stressed, or lonely in these difficult COVID times, call CalHOPE at 1-833-317-HOPE to talk to someone who can help. That's 1-833-317-4673. Hope will persevere.
From Labradoodles to Cronuts, the world loves a hybrid. So today, businesses are taking a smarter hybrid cloud approach using the tools, platform, and expertise of IBM. The world is going hybrid with IBM. Visit ibm.com/hybridcloud.
Hey, thanks for downloading this podcast. If you want to listen live, be sure to download the iHeartRadio app and search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Thanks for listening and enjoy the show.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Hour number two of Fantasy Sports today is here. Have the Philadelphia Eagles finally found a way to run the ball? And can Seattle continue their magical 2019 run in both reality and fantasy? Fantasy Sports Today, hour two, starts now.
Fantasy Sports Today.
The middle, pass is caught by Owens. Owens made the catch.
Pass is caught. Diggs, sideline, touchdown. Unbelievable. Toss to White. He's in. Patriots win the Super Bowl.
And welcome back. It is Fantasy Sports Today, hour number two of our show. Craig Mish, Joe Pisapia with you here on this Monday, December 16, 2019. Sean Guastamacchia is producing our program as we head toward Monday Night Football. Some teams will know whether they are in or out in fantasy. My guess is a large percentage of people are going to have to wait on this game tonight, but there was no waiting in the Eagles-Redskins game unless you bet this game against the spread. What an unbelievable beat at the end of the game. Wow. You had the Redskins with the last play of the game, and these dudes fumble, and the Redskins go all the way in for the touchdown, and you just want to punch a wall. I totally get that one. Thankfully, I was not involved in that game yesterday. I would have cried. I would have cried. It would have been so sad for me. But Eagles, who I think suck. Wentz too. I mean, gosh, to beat the Redskins.
I've been saying it since week one when they almost.
Listen, Joe, I know you've been saying everything. I know.
No, Wentz, but why not say how the Eagles have been bad? We've been spending all this time together. I agree with you. Why?
You're on a roll here. 266, three touchdowns for Carson Wentz. Miles Sanders, who at the beginning of the season, I told a buddy of mine, oh, this is going to be great. It's going to be great. Text me a few weeks ago. What a terrible call, Miles Sanders. I'm like, yeah, you're right, Miles Sanders. So he probably didn't make the playoffs. There is no credit going to anybody who said Miles Sanders is going to be good, because guess what? It's too late. But he had a monster game. Yeah. He's not had a good year. But he had a monster, monster game yesterday. In fact, outside of Winston, I think Sanders was probably the one guy, if you had in your lineup, won you your semifinal round. 122 and a touchdown. Six catches for 50 yards and a touchdown, too. Huge game. Zach Ertz, 5 for 61. Greg Ward, story of the day. Former quarterback of Houston. Loved this kid. Was phenomenal there. I mean, could he play quarterback in the NFL? I don't know. But, man, it was so awesome to see the Philly fans cheering for him. He is the story of the year for sure. I hope he continues this run. I hope they get into the playoffs and he has great games. He is an unbelievable kid. Loved watching him play quarterback and had to convert to wide receiver. And he had his career day, 7 for 61 and a touchdown. Dallas Goedert, 5 for 55. He's startable every week, too. It's crazy. Haskins, good game for him. Two touchdowns, 261 yards. Peterson, 66 and a touchdown. And Terry McLaurin, 5 for 130 and a touchdown. But the Eagles, just their defense, I don't know what is going on with them. They can't stop anybody.
Terrible secondary. Terrible.
And it's just, I suppose that game against Dallas is going to determine who wins. I mean, the Eagles could beat Dallas for sure, but.
What, man, a cluster that game's going to be. Man, that is, there's not enough memes on the internet about that game already. They're hilarious. But Peterson with that great touchdown run, kind of, you know, little reversal of direction there. McLaurin, absolutely. You know, we talked about him earlier in the first hour. He was just Man, that guy's just money. It doesn't matter who's playing quarterback. Him and Cortland Sutton have defied all the odds this year with quarterback play and been fantasy relevant almost every week. I'm going to say this in Miles Sanders' defense, okay? On the year, he has 687 rushing yards. He has 433 receiving yards. He's got 42 catches. So he's got a combined 1,000 all-purpose yards with 42 catches and 5 touchdowns. I don't think that's a bad rookie season. He's got 2 weeks left to go. I'm sorry. I'm going to bring it back to the sense of he's a rookie, and I think he's not a bust at all. If anything, the fact that he's had a nice second half compared to the boring first half when Jordan Howard was all over the place, I think you're really encouraged if you have Miles Sanders in a keeper league right now.
In a keeper league, but in a redraft, he did not deliver on the promise where he was drafted.
Well, I'll tell you what, man. I made a trade for him about 6 weeks ago with Matt Bodica, and I'm very pleased with getting Miles Sanders. Miles Sanders has been useful to me in a PPR league, and that's the whole thing. You look at it, and you're like, yeah, maybe not a ton of touchdowns, but it's the Eagles. The Eagles have trouble scoring some days, so I think overall, when you sit back and he's going to have probably 1,200 all-purpose yards and probably 6 touchdowns and 50 catches, man, that's a pretty good rookie season, man. I mean, what did you expect? How could you expect more than that?
Once again, if you drafted Miles Sanders, in all likelihood, is he was your RB2. In all likelihood.
Maybe if you drafted very late, that's about the only way he was an RB2.
Or a flex, whatever it was. And in all likelihood, you did not get this game from Miles Sanders this week because you did not make the playoffs. That's the reality of it. He did not deliver the ADP value that he had when he was drafted for anyone.
The plus is, well, here's your late versus early drafting. If he drafted in the beginning of August, then you had some really cheap Miles Sanders shares where he was just a flex matchup play. And if you did, that's great. And this is one of the dangers of drafting late is ADP rises on guys who have potential, so you don't get nearly the bargains. And this is where best ball and all the other stuff kind of enters into play. So there's an argument on both sides. Well, I drafted a guy and he got hurt in preseason. That sucks. Yeah, that's football. But you also missed out on a lot of potential, you know, diamonds in the rough or guys who are really good value late in drafts that the helium goes up and up and up as we get closer and closer to actual kickoff of the season.
Yep, like Andrew Luck. Good point. All right, Seahawks beat the Panthers 30-24. Russell Wilson, 286, 2 touchdowns. Carson, wow, he had a great game. 133, 2 touchdowns. I needed all of that from him. Tyler Lockett bounced back in a big way, 8-for-120 in a touchdown. And Metcalf has been just rock solid all season. Probably is he the best wide receiver, rookie wide receiver in fantasy? Probably. 2-for-36 in a touchdown. Let's see. Kyle Allen was brutal, 241, 1 touchdown, 3 interceptions. It's a shame, because he had that nice run while Newton was out. And now I have never seen a player in the NFL get more abused than Christian McCaffrey. I mean, I don't know what the target share was. I don't know how much usage he got. He was involved on every single play that I saw in that game. Every play. 87 yeah. yards, 88 receiving yards and a touchdown. I mean, I don't know how he's going to make it to week 17. I guess you got to, I mean, I have him in this league. I got to pray that he plays like in week 16. They're just killing this kid.
Yeah, they really are. And it should be a slightly concerning. I think you get one more year out of them in your keeper in dynasty leagues, and then you start to shop him at that peak. That's for sure. Is DK Metcalf the best rookie receiver? It's certainly, I mean, I think the conversation is him. It's Terry McLaurin. Debo Samuel's had a good year, but no, came on a little late no. while he was hurt.
I mean, just look at the numbers. Does Metcalf, I don't know. But
look at the numbers right now. The only guy who has got better numbers is Terry McLaurin, who has more touchdowns, more yardage, not by much, but one more touchdown, so and AJ Brown, who's got 893 yards. He has the most of any rookie wide receiver and 7 touchdowns. So AJ Brown is probably, I think it's him and Metcalf and McLaurin. That's your top three. But it's a pretty good class when you think about it. And you know who's in number 8 in receptions for rookies? Miles Sanders. Just want to point that out.
Moore had 8-for-113 and Samuel 5-for-31 and a touchdown. But it's very evident at this point, Joe, that the Kyle Allen, it was a great story and a nice story, kind of like Minshew in a way, you know, kind of came in there and it
the
was
lesser Minshew. It's like the straight to video Minshew.
Yeah, I think Kyle Allen could be a backup in the NFL for 10 years.
Probably. Yeah. He's done enough to show you that, but the turnovers have been just undoing.
It was brutal. Now, one of my picks was Carolina plus 6. That was one of the bigger ones that I had yesterday. And of course, they had to come all the way back to tie. But I will say this. Seattle did not play well defensively at all. Carolina not only could have easily won this game, but with all those mistakes that Allen made, it was a lot closer than the score would have indicated. And remember, the Panthers had the ball at the end of the game too. So that was a push for me, but it was okay. It's one of those pushes that you'll take because Seattle just really took advantage of a lot of those turnovers as part of betting, part of the NFL. All right, coming up next, we will dive back in to the Vikings and Chargers. Wow. A lot of stuff coming out of that game, as well as the Cardinals and Browns. The Cardinals bounced back to play very well, except for the quarterback 2 weeks ago against Pittsburgh. And they did did it again against the Browns, except for this time they didn't turn the ball over. We'll talk about that as well. You're listening to Fantasy Sports Today. Craig Mish and Joe Pisapia with you here on the show, and Joe and I will take you up until 2 o'clock Eastern. That's when Dr. Lerman takes over with a full-time fantasy. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back after this.
Want to light the lamp on DraftKings and FanDuel this NHL DFS season? Then join DailyRoto.com and learn from the best daily fantasy sports players. Get updated fantasy hockey projections for NHL DFS, line combinations, and build stacks for tournaments in the Daily Roto NHL DFS Lineup Optimizer. If you are playing daily fantasy hockey without using Daily Roto, you are doing it wrong. Enter the promo code ACTION for a 10% discount. That's promo code ACTION for a 10% discount.
These days, it's understandable if you feel anxious, stressed, or lonely because of COVID. You're not alone. Worrying about physical separation, your own health, and the health of family and friends can weigh heavily on you. But with the help of CalHope, you can get important mental health resources and information to help you find your way in these difficult times. Call 1-833-317-HOPE to talk to someone who can help. That's 1-833-317-4673. Hope will persevere. These days, it's understandable if you feel anxious, stressed, or lonely because of COVID. You're not alone. Worrying about physical separation, your own health, and the health of family and friends can weigh heavily on you. But with the help of CalHope, you can get important mental health resources and information to help you find your way in these difficult times. Call 1-833-317-HOPE to talk to someone who can help. That's 1-833-317-4673. Hope will persevere.
Fantasy Sports Today.
And I like football. And I'm going to keep doing them both because they make me feel good.
And welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today. It is Craig Mish along with Joe Pisapia with you here on the show. And Vikings played the Chargers in Los Angeles. Of course, a lot of Vikings fans in the house yesterday, and a really dominating one-sided performance for the most part in this game. Of course, the Chargers had to give the game to Minnesota to make it not close, which is what they do best. Kirk Cousins did not play well. 207, one touchdown, one interception. I watched this game pretty closely. Boone, 13 for 56 and two touchdowns because Dalvin Cook got hurt, and we've touched on Cook a little bit. It looks like he'll be out this week. Stephon Diggs rescued my day here. 4 for 76, gave it 11-point performance, and Thielen just doesn't look right. 3 for 26, so we'll see how Minnesota manages this going forward. For the Chargers, not a good day for Phillip Rivers. Again, 307, one touchdown, three interceptions. He fumbled. Melvin Gordon, 7 for 28. He fumbled twice, 5 for 36. Eckler, you know, just startable every week. You know exactly what he's giving you. 10, 15 points. He did it again, 19 yards, 5 for 52. Keenan Allen, 9 for 96. And if there's one reason why I would, and I think they've already fired their offensive coordinator, but if I would fire him again, is for not using this guy, Mike Williams. I mean, what in the world? This guy catches everything thrown his way.
No kidding.
And this is where I think, Joe, I think you liked him at the beginning of the year. This is where the process is. The process was right, but the results were wrong. And sometimes that's what happens. But
frustrating.
There is no question that this guy is. This guy could be like Julio Jones. Everything they throw this guy, he catches or he gets a pass interference. And they just started figuring this out like 3 weeks ago. He had no touchdowns going in last week, and now he has two. But it's over for him, you know? The season's over. Four for 71 and a touchdown. But the Vikings, all you got to do against the Chargers, Joe, is just show up, go on the field, and then they're gonna give it to you somehow. You know, they're going to fumble, they're going to throw picks, whatever it is. And you know what? The Chargers could beat the Vikings 39-10 if they put their best game together, but they never do. Minnesota is obviously a playoff team at this point. They're still going to be trying to play for some sort of home field. But honestly, for the Vikings, if I'm them, I don't know if they're a Super Bowl team, but I may want to slow my roll on Thielen and Cook and just be like, look, let's just get healthy for that first round of the playoffs, because when Minnesota has everyone, they could beat everybody. But if they're going to keep messing around with these hurt guys and keep playing them hurt, they're not even going to have them available for the first round. I think they got to just bite the bullet, go on the road in that first round of the wild card playoffs and hope for the best with their top guys healthy.
That might be what they should do, but I don't think it's what they're going to do, because they're at home next week against the Packers. And I just don't see them giving that up, because the Packers right now, I believe, are the 2 seed the way things have shaken out. So there's opportunity here because they have that one win on them to kind of right the ship a little bit. So you're right. That's probably what should happen. Thielen just has to be on the field. Just his presence on the field does matter, because it doesn't have to make you change the way you play defense. But I was of the mind that just because Adam Thielen's active, I know he said he wouldn't come back when he was 100%, but it is hard to be 100% this year. And it seems like they were kind of just saying, look, you need to get back on the field. And I think that's what you saw. And I agree with you. Thielen does not look right. If he made it through the championship week, I would not feel great about starting him against the Packers. I just wouldn't. I would have to really be out of options in order to do that. And on the other side of this game, with the Chargers, it's the changing of the guard here. You're going to see Philip Rivers possibly moved on from. Melvin Gordon's going to be gone. It's going to be a very different team. I don't know if the coach will be moved on from. We'll find out. The OC already was. But you're absolutely right about Mike Williams. It's why I drafted him everywhere. He scored 10 touchdowns last year, and everybody kept saying, well, he's real touchdown dependent. And all I kept saying was, yeah, so? Like, he's catching touchdowns every week. That matters. And there was opportunity without Tyrell Williams in this offense this year for him to have a better season. And a lot of the workload in terms of receiving went to Austin Eckler, and that's fair. That's fine. Mike Williams did deal with an injury again for a couple weeks. That kind of put a damper on things. But once they made that change at OC, you go look at the game odd for Mike Williams. It's been nothing but gold pretty much ever since they made that change 6 weeks ago.
Yeah. I mean, he was a massive bust, but
he was.
It's a shame. It's just a shame that they weren't able to figure it out early on.
I'm going to go one more time next year with him because the talent is there. I am not going to be scared away.
It depends on the quarterback, too. I mean, they bring in a rookie quarterback and they end up starting him. You know, it could be.
What about Winston and Mike Williams? How about that?
Yeah, that would be good. That would be good.
Sign me up.
Cardinals beat the Browns 38-24. Good for the Cardinals. I thought they should have beat Pittsburgh last week, but they came up strong this week. Murray had a very good fantasy game, 219 and a touchdown, and threw a pick, of course, but did get those 56 rushing yards. That's what you're looking for every week from him, adding to those fantasy points. You need that. Drake, of course, had the best rushing game for anybody in fantasy yesterday, 22 for 137 and 4 touchdowns. That kind of came out of nowhere. Demarius Byrd, who would have thought? No one started him anywhere. I'm guessing no one used him anywhere. 6 for 86. He was their leading receiver. And Christian Kirk, who was a flex probably for a lot of people, 4 for 33. He fell flat. Baker Mayfield, 247, 2 touchdowns, 1 pick. Chubb has had an outstanding season. That's what tells you how dysfunctional the Browns are. You're going to have the number one running back in the NFL, and you can't win any games. That just doesn't make sense.
1,400 yards, 8 touchdowns.
Doesn't make any sense. 127, 1 touchdown. Kareem Hunt, 8 more catches, 62 yards. He'll be somewhere else next year. He's had a really good catching games over the course of the last few weeks. Beckham, 8 for 66. I guess you just do play those tight ends against the Cardinals. Ricky Seals-Jones, 2 touchdowns.
Everybody but Vance McDonald. This is the only guy that hasn't done it. Everybody but Vance McDonald has gone. And it's funny amazing. Because we were talking about, well, is it Njoku because he's back? And then, nope, it's Ricky Seals-Jones. And they just, especially when you get in the red zone, man, they just cannot cover a tight end. Those linebackers are just trash against covering tight ends. It's terrible. But you're right. Chubb and Hunt have been fantastic. You would think with that two-headed monster at running back, you could do more. Nope. They just continue to be a sloppy football team, the Browns. And this is another one. It's about coaching.
Yeah,
Freddie Kitchens is not a head coach. Nah, Freddie Kitchens is not going to be the coach next year.
They'll be much better next year. They'll be undervalued and they'll be much better. Landry 5 for 23, and he kind of came up flat, and that was the story of the Cardinals-Browns game. More or less, Kenyon Drake, who is a free agent and will end up starting for a lot of teams next week in the Fantasy Football Championship. Cowboys beat the Rams 44-21. This game was not close. It was over almost from the beginning. Prescott 212 and 2 touchdowns. What happened was Dallas just ran all over the Rams for what reason, I'm not really sure. Rams to me are one of the top like 2 or 3 teams to not be able to figure out right now. Pollard 131 and a touch. Elliott 117 and 2 touches. 3 for 43 through the air. His best game of the season, without a doubt. And then Tavon Austin had 1 catch for 59 yards. The two Rams guys ran into each other. That's why he scored. Goff 284, 2 touchdowns, 1 interception. Those numbers were only good in the second half. Gurley did nothing, but man, 2 touchdowns again. 11 for 20. And 3 receptions for a touchdown. So that whole, oh, we're going to get Gurley a lot of so much for that. Higbee, 12 for 111 and a touchdown. Cup had a good game, too, 6 for 41 and a touchdown. And then Woods, who was started, I would guess, at 99.9% of fantasy leagues, was one of the big busts in the semifinals yesterday. 4 catches for just 17 yards. So as Jekyll and Hyde as Dallas is, Joe, the Rams, I think, are right there. I don't really know what to expect from them on a week-to-week basis. They can look awesome. They look terrible. I know some of it is home-road related, I suppose, but still, they have played well over the last couple of weeks. They went on the road one game, too. So it's just one of those teams I got to stay away from my opinion on because I just don't know what they're going to do. And for Dallas's point of view, we know that they are as talented as any team in the NFL, but they rarely put it together like they did yesterday.
No, yeah. If you told me that the Rams are going to beat the 49ers next week, I would not even blink an eye. I'd be like, okay. I just feel like that's exactly the point is you just don't know who they are, who's going to show up, how they're going to play. And we've said here when we were talking about the decline of the Rams, I remember earlier in the year, we were talking about this could be a 10-win football team and miss the playoffs. And they're getting dangerously close to that. They would have to beat the 49ers in order to be a 10-win team, and then they'll beat the Cardinals at home the following week. So 10 wins is still on the table for them. But that 10 wins is not going to get them in the playoffs with the tiebreaker. So they're basically...
doesn't look like it. Yeah.
No, it's just not going to work out that way. So it's a very strange year for them. You mentioned the Todd Gurley at least having the touchdowns there. That at least kind of saved his day. But 11 for 20 is not what you were anticipating. Now you could say, well, it's game script. Things got away from them early. That's fair. But Tyler Higbee, talk about one of the... Here we are. It's week 16, basically. We're into this, and we're talking about Rashad Perryman, Tyler Higbee, all these guys, you know, Mike Boone, all these guys that you can't even fathom would have the kind of impact they're having in a week. And now next week we're going, okay, well, we got to be ready with these guys and fire them up in lineups because they might be very, very productive. But I don't know who the Rams are. Anybody who says they do is crazy. And right now, I know we're going to talk about a lot during the week, but how do you feel about this Cowboys-Eagles situation here? I mean, neither of these teams is very good.
My guess is Dallas. I would have to. Yeah. Only choice I would have to go. I'm not impressed with the Eagles either. But look,
I think you have to get this kind of Zeke game. Fine. Like this needs to be the identity of this football team for the next 2 weeks into the playoffs. Is part of this is we keep getting these mediocre Ezekiel Elliott games. Let's get him the ball a gazillion times. Let's ride him the way that the Panthers ride McCaffrey, because they haven't really all year. He's been there. He's been getting, you know, the 20 carries, all this stuff, a couple catches. Let's go all in on Ezekiel Elliott. Let's just brutalize his defenses at the end of the year. They're tired and worn down.
Coming up next, the 49ers defense took a backseat to the Falcons yesterday, and also the Raiders close out their last game in Oakland.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
These days, it's understandable if you feel anxious, stressed, or lonely because of COVID. You're not alone. Worrying about physical separation, your own health, and the health of family and friends can weigh heavily on you. But with the help of CalHOPE, you can get important mental health resources and information to help you find your way in these difficult times. Call 1-833-317-HOPE to talk to someone who can help. That's 1-833-317-4673. HOPE will persevere. These days, it's understandable if you feel anxious, stressed, or lonely because of COVID. You're not alone. CalHOPE, a program at the California Department of Healthcare Services, can connect you with resources for mental wellness. Visit CalHOPE at calhope.org to find tips and useful resources to support your mental wellness during these difficult times. Or call CalHOPE at 1-833-317-HOPE to talk to someone who can help. That's 1-833-317-4673. Hope will persevere.
Fantasy Sports Today with Craig Mish and Joe Pisapia.
Put your money where your mouth is and take a shot by opening up a sports wagering account with FanDuel, New Jersey's largest sports book. Go to FanDuel.com/grid. where you will receive a free bet of up to $500. That's a free bet of up to $500 when you open up a sports wagering account at FanDuel.com/grid. Point spreads, game totals, props, parlays, in-game wagering on college and pro sports. And you're in control. Go to FanDuel.com/grid. Open up your new account. Claim your free wager of up to $500 today. Eligibility restrictions apply. See website for details. You have to be 21 years or older to take advantage of this. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Well, speaking of gambling, boy, this game did not look like it was going over the total until the last play of the game where the Falcons score that defensive touchdown. What a wild finish it was to this. Very disappointing loss for the 49ers, and the Falcons have been part of some really big upsets this season. Matt Ryan, 210, two touchdown passes. They didn't run the ball at all again. Freeman just 39 yards, but Julio Jones had a monster game, 13-134 and two touchdowns. Can't stop this guy still. On the San Francisco side, Jimmy Garoppolo, 200, one touchdown. Raheem Mostert, a lot of people were in on him after the last couple of weeks. He gave you 11 points, fair enough. George Kittle, big game for him, 13 for 154. And then, unfortunately, a major dud yesterday if Deebo Samuel started for you as your flex. And there was good reason to. He's had a nice, good run here, but unfortunately did more or less nothing. Same with Sanders. So The 49ers, Joe, are that team that could just, you know, one week they look great, one week they look bad. I still like them a lot because I think their defense is good enough. But now the Falcons have been part of a couple of massive upsets this season. One of the Saints, one of the 49ers. There's some rumbling that, oh, Dan Quinn, you know, he's really turned it around. I'm not so sure that I believe that. I still think that they need to make a change there. But the Falcons have at least, unlike some of these other bad teams, have shown up, won some games here at the end.
Yeah, I'm of the mind of tear it down. You know, I understand they've shown up and won some games. That's great. I think they've done it kind of on smoke and mirrors and some of the elite talent that they have left on that team. Matt Ryan's a real good quarterback. Let's be frank. Julio Jones is one of the best wide receivers on the planet. When you have guys like that, sometimes they make plays and things can happen. But I think overall, it's maybe you can even say that that talent has hidden some of the issues they've had, even in that run to the Super Bowl. They had a fair amount of issues defensively still the year they went to the Super Bowl. Very green, young defense that year. And they haven't really matured into the players I think that they wanted. So from a defensive standpoint, they definitely need an overhaul. If you call yourself a defensive coach and you've given up the amount of points that they have this year and amount of yardage they have this year, you really should be held accountable. At the same time, it's a great win. There's no way around this is a great win. And another terrible home loss for the 49ers. And I don't know, man. I mean, I feel like this 49er team finally got challenged there with Seattle and then Baltimore and then New Orleans. And they're getting all these challenges. And they're starting to feel like what it's supposed to be. And I feel like maybe this was just a letdown after all those challenges in a row for them. But at the same time, at home, you got to handle your business. You can't let this happen. And you especially can't lose it at the end the way they did, I think, if you are a great defensive team, to let that ending of that game happen. You need to shut them down. I'm sorry. This is a bad loss for the 49ers, and I think one that might haunt them.
Well, it could very well be. We'll see if Seattle continues to win and, you know, they have the upper hand at this point. No question about that. But still a couple games left to be played. Last game in Oakland yesterday, the Raiders in the first half looked like they're going to beat the Jaguars 51-0. That's the way it looked. Minshew threw almost two quarters, had one complete pass. One. But the Raiders just defense fell apart in the second half of the game. And Minshew, you know, did what he needed to do to get the win. 201, two touchdowns, Fournette, 42 yards on the ground, 5 for 31 through the air. Conley, who nobody had any piece of, 4 for 49, two touchdown, and Chark did nothing, zero. Carr, 267 and a touchdown. Jacobs, 24 for 89. Waller came through in a big way, 8 for 122. Tyrell Williams, 2 for 45. Jaguars, before the game, there was a lot of talk from some of the national guys that there's going to be massive changes, and they should. I think this game may have come as a surprise to a lot of people that the Raiders in their last home game in Oakland would not only not cover, but fall short. Fortunately, I was on the Jacksonville side in this one. Why? I have no idea. I was looking at this game in the first quarter thinking, wow, this is the worst pick that I've ever made all season long. But the road dogs in the NFL are covering at a historical rate, and it just continues. I don't know why that this is the trend for the season. But it's going to be at like 63% for the end of the season. Every road dog in the NFL covers, and some win outright. In fact, these next two games happened. What, three games? Every game in the segment it happened in.
Yeah,
I don't know why it is. It just keeps happening. You can't go against that. And so I'd
like to venture one reason potentially. I don't think there's nearly as many home field advantages in the NFL as there used to be. Whether that be fan base, whether that be building, whether it be turf, whatever it is. I just feel like, I mean, look at LA, for instance, right? There's two teams that play in the same stadium. Neither have a home field advantage. I don't think that MetLife Stadium has been a home field advantage the way the old Giants Stadium has been. It's not quite the same ruckus crowd. It's not quite the same thing that used to be. I there's a couple out there. People want to still say Arrowhead. Okay, a little bit there. I still think New England is. That's a tough crowd to play. Minnesota, I think, is a really tough building. That building is super loud, very, very energetic building. Seattle used to be that. It's fallen off a little bit. It's just you're not getting quite the home field advantages in terms of the building, in terms of the fan bases and all that stuff. And I think that's part of the reason why you're getting what you're getting in terms of these road teams being able to go in there and compete.
Well, they're not only covering, but winning outright. A very disappointing finish for the Raiders, for sure. I really thought that was a nice little upside pick to win the Super Bowl and then just start hedging as they would get into the playoffs. But clearly that is not going to happen. And just a really falling flat spot to a team in the first and second quarter that looked like they didn't want to be there. Jacksonville had lost by 15 points or more, three straight games. That's like fireable offense for everyone there. And so for the Jaguars to go into Oakland and beat them in their last game is just
Sad. And no Shark in this game. It's not like they had their best receiver even active for this game. You know, just
yeah, a horrible.
Yeah, Waller was good. Waller was good. 8 for 122.
He was good. Tyrell Williams had a touchdown. Jacobs
wasn't healthy.
I think not a disaster. Yeah, they should shut him down. What is the point of playing?
Well, I think this was why. I think they were trying to win this last game in the black hole.
Sense. Yeah,
but I think that's exactly why. I don't think you'll see Jacobs the rest of 16 and 17, nor should you. But again, I think what you take out of this season is, hey, we're probably going to win 7 games or something. And at the end of it, we'll look back and we'll say Carr was pretty good. We'll say Jacobs and Waller are something you can build around. You go get one more wide receiver. You could make some use of more of these draft picks you have. And I think you're very excited about the future if you're an Oakland Raider fan. Of course, it was a tough day, but don't tell me about tough days. I remember losing the opportunity to go to the playoffs and Shea Stadium closing in the same day as a Mets fan. That was about it. Again, all the legends, all the legendary Mets waiting out there, and we just blew it. And now everybody come out here and let's celebrate the end of a miserable franchise.
Lost to the Marlins, right?
Yeah, more insulting. Lost to the they were like a last place team, I want to say. Yeah,
at the time.
Terrible.
Yeah, terrible.
I
can't wait for Vegas to open up that stadium next year. That's going to be cool, though. We're going to try to go to that first game. All right, Bills beat the Steelers 17-10. Another game. It was actually an entertaining game, even though there wasn't a lot of offense, just because you were wondering when the good play was going to be made in this one. Inevitably, it was Josh Allen, John Brown, late in this one, a long catch, 45-yard catch that kind of put them in position to score a touchdown. Josh Allen, 139, one touchdown, one pick, one rushing touchdown. Singletary was the primary guy. Did okay, 87 yards. John Brown, 7 for 99. Cole Beasley was my lone bust yesterday. My lone bust, 1 for 6. So I'm hoping that was just a matchup because I may have to use him this week. This guy, Hodges, was just brutal. 202, one touchdown, 4 interceptions earlier today. Mike Tomlin in the press conference said that he would not commit to starting Hodges going forward. So what does that mean? I have no idea because they don't have anyone else. Connor, 8 for 42. And Washington, who's had a nice comeback season, albeit, of course, because Juju's not playing and Antonio Brown went weird, 5 for 83 in that game. So I thought Buffalo played to the level of Baltimore last week, so this did not surprise me. Again, another road dog going on the road and winning outright. But I would say that Buffalo's ceiling is they really need to get that first-round home playoff game. I think they have a good chance to win if they can get that. And Joe, for Pittsburgh, I know they have great defense and they can continue to play well. And if they get in, I suppose they could win any game. But they've got to get back Juju and they've got to get some of this offense going. I don't know what they can do at quarterback because, I mean, I'm guessing Rudolph is probably better than Hodges, but I don't know that he's much better. And is there someone they could pick up at this point? Like, I don't know. I mean, that's basically it, right?
It seems like it. I mean, it seems like they might have been better served to kind of, I don't know, kick the tires on a couple guys and see if they could have brought some more quarterback talent in, especially when you knew Roethlisberger was not coming back at all this year. It's kind of surprised they didn't kick the tires on some of these old NFL retreads or even at the trade deadlines. Hey, maybe we can, pull away this guy or that, some guy that's been in the league for a while. You know, maybe get a throw a draft pick for a Brian Hoyer or somebody like that.
Should they go Wildcat?
I don't know, man. I think you can make the argument for it.
Why not?
You got to do something. Look, here's the thing. They've got the Jets and the Ravens the next 2 weeks, the Jets on the road and the Ravens on the road. So that could be 2 more losses. So what could be the Cinderella story could be coming to an end. I think they'll beat the Jets, but we'll see if that's enough. On the Bill side of this game, too, Singletary continues to have a really good second half. The only thing that's troubling is the fact that he doesn't get the rushing touchdowns because Josh Allen runs the ball in a lot. So that's something next year to keep in mind. I'm going to be very high on Singletary, but you have to keep in mind in the standard leagues, it's going to be tough. You know, what should be maybe a 10 or 12 touchdown kind of a guy might just be a 6 or 8 touchdown kind of a guy, and you have to kind of build that into your thinking when you're looking at him. But he's even catching the ball, too. He's only played 11 games. And we all know play is kind of relative in terms of the amount of workload he had, especially when he came back. They really eased him in slowly. But, he's caught 30 of 40 targets. He's got 2 receiving touchdowns. Devin Singletary looks like he's going to be that guy. So this is another dude that him, Miles Sanders, a lot of people that were really excited this year, maybe didn't get everything they expected. People will be off of them next year because they didn't get everything they wanted in year one. But that'll be a huge mistake. And year two is going to be much better for both of those dudes.
Yeah, I think Singletary will be good next year. The only issue with him is the same as he had a little bit in college. He fumbled twice yesterday. He's got four fumbles on the season, and so that's why they go to Allen and they'll go to Gore on the goal line, and he'll have to correct that for sure going into next year. But he seems like a safe, rock-solid RB2 for most.
He's the future of their position. And at running
back. He's got to stop the fumbling, though. That's mm-hmm. that's not going to work if he continues to fumble. All right, so that covers all of the games from Sunday. Coming up next, we'll cover the injury report in the NFL. And we'll also touch on tonight's Monday night football game between the Colts and Saints. You're listening to Fantasy Sports Today. Don't go away.
Want to light the lamp on DraftKings and FanDuel this NHL DFS season? Then join DailyRoto.com and learn from the best daily fantasy sports players. Get updated fantasy hockey projections for NHL DFS, line combinations, and build stacks for tournaments in the DailyRoto NHL DFS lineup optimizer. If you are playing daily fantasy hockey without using DailyRoto, you are doing it wrong. Enter the promo code ACTION for a 10% discount. That's promo code ACTION for a 10% discount.
These days, it's understandable if you feel anxious, stressed, or lonely because of COVID. You're not alone. CalHOPE, a program at the California Department of Healthcare Services, can connect you with resources for mental wellness. Visit CalHOPE at calhope.org to find tips and useful resources to support your mental wellness during these difficult times. Or call CalHOPE at 1-833-317-HOPE to talk to someone who can help. That's 1-833-317-4673. Hope will persevere. These days, it's understandable if you feel anxious, stressed, or lonely because of COVID. You're not alone. CalHOPE, a program at the California Department of Healthcare Services, can connect you with resources for mental wellness. Visit CalHOPE at calhope.org to find tips and useful resources to support your mental wellness during these difficult times. Or call CalHOPE at 1-833-317-HOPE to talk to someone who can help. That's 1-833-317-4673. Hope will persevere.
Fantasy Sports Today with Craig Mish and Joe Pisapia.
And welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today. It is Craig Mish and Joe Pisapia as we head to the Fantasy Football Championship after tonight's game. Now, Joe, let me set you up with my championship potential matchup here in the Phillies League here. So you tell me what ends up happening. Okay, the high point score going into tonight of all, because there's consolation and all that, is our team. We have 150 fantasy points tonight. 150. And we have New Orleans defense. Okay, you got me?
Mm-hmm.
The team we're playing against has 97 points, and they have Doyle, Cook, and Lutz.
Doyle, Cook, and Lutz.
And okay. we're up 53 points with the Saints D. We should feel good about this, correct?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, I mean, barring some crazy game from tight ends, which... I mean,
that's asking a lot for tight ends. If you said it was Thomas and Cook, I'd be like, oh, okay.
It's different. No, it's different. I'm hopeful we get to that. We have a high point score with 150 points. Winston 32, McCaffrey 36, Carson 26, Allen Robinson 19, Cole Beasley 1. I guess we'll have to make a decision on him this week. Andrews 15, Diggs 11, Butker 10. And we have all zeros across the board on the bench because it's all like handcuffs who we can all cut. You know, after this week, it could pick up some. Oh, actually, Pascal, we have two. We could have played him instead of Beasley. But I didn't think Beasley would have a great game, Joe, but I thought I'd get 5 points, you know, like 10 points. Like, give me a small floor for him. I know he threw the ball a lot to him, too.
It was just like a slogger kind of a game. But that's what you expect when, you know, Pittsburgh, especially Pittsburgh on primetime, they always play these. Even when Roethlisberger was around, I felt like every game was like 16-13. Those kind of games.
Yeah, there were like, games like that. Yeah.
Man, there's not.
All right. So Dalvin Cook, in all likelihood, we're not going to see him this week. And right. The question is, that's the top injury, I think, of the week. The question is, will Alexander Mattison play? I did not even know he was hurt. That's a bad job by me going into the game. I was clueless on that. But I don't think that in the championship you can start Bourne. I think maybe you can consider starting Mattison if he's hurt, but or if he's healthy. But I don't even know if you can consider that now that he has that injury tag on him. And then, of course, Godwin of Tampa Bay, who had that fantastic season, Joe. What a shame it is for him as he ends his year.
Yeah, well, he's definitely out next week. It seems like that's the early reporting that's coming down, and that's not surprising. Bruce Arians basically said the hamstring injury doesn't look good. A lot of reports, I think Good Morning Football this morning also reported that it seems like 15 is probably a done deal already, that he won't play that. So if he's not playing in week 16, then probably 17, you would imagine, probably not playing either. And that means Breshad Perryman, that means Justin Watson, that means you got to make some adjustments here. And, to the depth chart of what you're looking at and what's left here. And Perryman automatically becomes the number one. And I think that you're okay with that. I mean, if you can still pick him up and he's still out there, you're going to have to, you're just going to blow it all. Just go get him, because you know the volume's going to be there. They don't run the football. Why wouldn't you go pick up Breshad Perryman now, especially if you can still do so in these championship games? And I think it's a must. And I'm very lucky. I don't have to sweat anything tonight. The matchup between our own family member here at the station, Dane Martinez, it's over. 179 to 135. A really good day from the grouping of Breshad Perryman, Mike Williams, DeAndre Hopkins, Courtland Sutton, Miles Sanders, Kareem Hunt, Tannehill, Patrick Mahomes, and that Patriots defense. And that's all she wrote there. I was a little worried because he had Saquon Barkley, and Barkley was having a huge day.
Yeah, he had a great day.
Oh, man. He had him and Devontae Parker. So it was definitely sweating for a little while. And then the 4 o'clock games happened, and that was all she wrote. So good game, Dane. Good game. I'll see you next year in the draft, my friend. Now it's on to Adam Ronis. It's on to Cincinnati. And if I lose to Adam Ronis, I'm okay with that, because Adam Ronis is... he's kind of like the fantasy Patriots, I feel like. Like, it's just really hard to beat him in baseball, football. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter what it is. He's like
Bo Jackson. Is that your only championship?
No, I got a couple other super flex leagues, but those are all like listener leagues and stuff that I do with some of the readers of the Black Book. So, okay. But this is the one I told you. It's the belt. I just want the belt. There's no money in this. I want to be able to walk around and have theme music behind me walking into the draft next year. I'm going to do it up. I'm going to do the whole thing. It's going to be fun.
All right, cool. Well, good luck to you.
I like shtick. Yeah. We'll see. Ronis is a tough team. I'm not looking forward to it, but he beat Jen Ryan, who is her team was spectacular. So she's got one person left to play. It's just Jack Doyle. I don't know if Jack Doyle is going to have 20 something points. If he does, then she'll win. But I think it's safe right now. I don't think 20 for Jack Doyle in the half point PPR is happening.
No. And not only that, but there's a report today saying that T.Y. Hilton is going to try and play tonight for the Indianapolis Colts, which, by the way, I think does change the dynamic of this game significantly. I don't think the Colts can win without Hilton, but in terms of the spread, it would change my opinion of this one. As we mentioned earlier in the show, the Super Contest, folks, is $1 million on the line in the next couple of weeks. So I start paying attention over the end of the season, who could win that. And I give a lot of respect to the people who were at the top of that, finishing in the 65-66% range for the season. That is just incredible. More than half of the pool every year is under 500 for the year. I mean, think about that, under 50%. And these guys are hitting 60%. It's just crazy. But the line is 9.5. And the total is 46.5. So I guess we'll wait and see if Hilton plays tonight. If he does, Joe, I will back the Colts. I will back the Colts, and I'll back these points. I think the Saints are certainly phenomenal at home. But how have they played the last few weeks? They are not playing well. They're not covering anything. I mean, really. I mean, they're getting trashed by San Francisco. Carolina, a team that can't even find their way, scored 31 points against them. Sean Payton came out the other day and said they've had more injuries this year than he's ever had. Since he's coached the New Orleans Saints. And that's saying a lot, especially to the defensive side. So I think if Hilton's in, I'll back Indy. I'll back Indy in the points here. I don't think that they win, but I could see this exactly like last week's game.
Yeah, Lattimore's been banged up. He's back on the field, but he's probably not 100% either. But it is just such a weird thing to look at this game log. Because the Saints, they start out there, healthy, Breeze, all this stuff. You have the big time, that opening game, which was probably the best game of week one. If you remember that Saints-Texans game, 30-28, it was the early Monday night game, which I love. I love the early Monday night game with the Monday night doubleheader. I'm such a big fan. Give me that. Get rid of Thursday night football. I am so happy. Then you had a bizarre just trouncing by the Rams. Then you get the injury of Drew Breeze, right? And then you go on this run where the defense plays so well. They beat the Seahawks in Seattle. They beat the Cowboys in a 12-10 game. They were able to beat the Buccaneers with Teddy Bridgewater having a big day. So bizarre, right? All defense. I held the Jaguars to 6, the Cowboys to 10, the Cardinals to 9. And then what happens? All of a sudden you get Drew Brees back, and then all of a sudden the defense goes away. They give up 31 to the Panthers. They had given up points to the Falcons. I mean, it's
48 kind of to San Francisco.
48 to San Francisco. I don't know, man. And that's the whole thing. I asked you off air in between segments, who do you think is going to represent the NFC in the Super Bowl? And you said the 49ers, and I'm incomplete. I look at the way it's all set up now, and I feel like Seattle being the one seed right now, having one more game, week 17, against the 49ers in their own building. Wouldn't that be something? Has a team ever done that? Has a team ever played twice and then played in the championship game against that same team from their division and beaten them 3 times? Because that would be a lot. That would be a tough sell.
I'm sure, right? I'm sure it has, but you're right. It's unique. I'll take That's Dallas. I'll take scenario. Dallas to win it all. How about that?
Wait, no, you went about the 49ers.
I'm kidding. No, yeah. I mean, look, it's very unpredictable. Baltimore's a favorite in the AFC. Would not shock me at all to see Kansas City or New England go into Baltimore and win. I mean, it's the NFL.
I think those are the only two, though, that have a chance. I think it's Kansas City and AFC, it's New England against them. Because Chiefs defense has played a bit better lately.
Buffalo can win any game they're in, but the likelihood of them winning 3 games straight to get there, I think, is I could see Buffalo winning the first game. I could see Buffalo winning their second game, then getting to the AFC Championship. Everyone's like, "Oh my God, Buffalo!" But then they lose that.
I think it takes a Mahomes or a Brady or somebody like that who's got a little bit of that, that gravitas around him. I don't think Josh Allen's quite there yet. But I'm trying to remember. It's very difficult at the top of your head. I know there's been teams that have played each other, obviously, where they, in the playoffs, but trying to remember a team from the division that beat another team twice in the year and then went on to play them again in the championships game specifically.
That's a
big time Google line. So.
That's a Google. There's nothing more than that.
I mean, what did we do before Google? We just made up stuff.
We went to AOL. No.
What did we do before the internet? Everyone was just right. Whatever they thought was just right.
That's pretty much it. You would have been great. Yeah,
you had a.
That was like your era.
I'm Craig Nidge. I make funny jokes.
That was like your era that time.
Joe's never right about anything. That's why no one buys his books at all. He's a terrible fantasy analyst. Blah, blah, blah. I say what I'm wrong all the time. He's such. Is tired. Is old, Mish. This is an old funny bit now. Yeah, you're just digging here. Going.
How was your upset special this week? Are you still on that run?
Upset special this week. I have to go back. I am overload right now because of the baseball black book coming out in January. So I am. I'll go back and look for it. I was trying to Google the other thing, but if you want me to Google that instead,
that's an easy one. Tomorrow we could rip you for that one. You're on a bad streak. Odds are it continued, but you probably took the Chargers, right?
No, I did not take the Chargers for
okay,
sure.
Okay, good.
I definitely did not take the Chargers. Houston? I'll go back and I'll look.
Houston?
Doesn't sound right. Hold on a second. You know what? This is dead Buffalo? Air. Nobody won.
Buffalo? At Pittsburgh? Upset special?
Might have been.
That was not a bad one.
It might have been Buffalo.
How about Arizona against Cleveland? They were.
I gotta go look. You just go over to LineStar. That's got the thing right there. You could call me out right here.
You're not posting the thing every week. LineStar used to post it. Yeah, but LineStar stopped doing. No, they stopped doing it the last couple of weeks. I like to go and check and see.
So I can LineStar from this week. Let's see. It's terrible. It's the Broncos. Awful. Awful.
Wow, that was your upset special?
Wow. Well, then I thought they would cover that because the Broncos had played.
Well. Oh, cover. Okay. Yeah, no,
cover.
That's
just a cover. It was a 10-point spread on that. 10.5. I didn't think they were going to lose by 10.5. They got their doors blown in by the Chiefs.
It happens.
They played well defensively leading up until that, had they not? It's a pretty good defense that was trying around that. I just thought that was a big number. So, I would take the heat on that.
I took Kansas City, but I don't think that was a bad pick. No. Like a bad pick would have been I think I picked Miami too in the pools. I have to check, but yeah, I think Miami was a bad pick for me. So, all right. So, you want to take the Colts or the Saints or the over or the under? The total's 46.5. That's not really giving me a good indication. I know the Saints aren't playing great defense, but I'm not totally sold. The Colts put a 24.
I'll take the under on that. I'll go under.
Under 46.5. I'll take.
And what's the line right now?
9.
I like the Colts side of that one. I think they'll keep this interesting.
I mean, all you really need to do is have the Colts score first. I mean, that's kind of the deal here. Colts go up 7-0. It's going to be really hard for the Saints to cover. That's like exactly the way that Atlanta, San Francisco played out. Atlanta scored first. You're like, uh-oh, I'm dead.
Here you go. I have the answer to the question. There we go. It happens periodically. A team that has beaten the team 3 times in one season, so it would be the playoffs, not necessarily.
Gotcha.
So 2009 Dallas Cowboys.
Oh, okay.
They go over the Philadelphia Eagles. So there's one. 2008 Pittsburgh Steelers over the Baltimore Ravens. 2004 St. Louis Rams over the Seattle Seahawks. 2002 Pittsburgh Steelers over the Cleveland Browns. So there you go.
It's happened quite a bit.
It's just in the last 20 years, and in 2000, the Giants over the Eagles. It's happened to the Eagles twice in the last 20 years when they lost at the same time. Same team 3 times in the playoffs. So there you have it.
All right. Coming up next, it's time for our 2-minute drill. Don't go away.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
These days, it's understandable if you feel anxious, stressed, or lonely because of COVID. You're not alone. CalHOPE, a program at the California Department of Healthcare Services, can connect you with resources for mental wellness. Visit CalHOPE at calhope.org to find tips and useful resources to support your mental wellness during these difficult times. Or call CalHOPE at 1-833-317-HOPE to talk to someone who can help. That's 1-833-317-4673. Hope will persevere. These days, it's understandable if you feel anxious, stressed, or lonely because of COVID. You're not alone. Worrying about physical separation, your own health, and the health of family and friends can weigh heavily on you. But with the help of CalHOPE, you can get important mental health resources and information to help you find your way in these difficult times. Call 1-833-317-HOPE to talk to someone who can help. That's 1-833-317-4673. Hope will persevere.
Fantasy Sports Today with Craig Mish and Joe Pisapia.
And welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today. Full-time fantasy is coming your way in just a couple of minutes. Before we get out of here, let's turn it over to Joe Pisapia as he has the 2-minute drill.
The 2-minute warning.
2 minutes, get your sh** together.
Is that going to be enough time?
I know we've been consumed with football all day today, and rightfully so. It is fantasy football playoff season, but I want to turn my attention to basketball for a hot minute here and talk a little bit about LeBron James and the workload management of a lot of players nowadays. It's been 17 years now in the NBA for Mr. LeBron, and he quote says, "I don't know how many games I got left in my career. I don't know how many kids that might show up to a game that are there to come see me play, and if I sit out, then what? If I'm healthy, then I'm going to play." Good for you, LeBron James, because 17 years in a league, you deserve a night off now and then. But especially nowadays, when you're looking at some of these high-priced stars in the NBA who have management schedules, they play every third game. What is that? Yeah, the NBA season's long, and yeah, it doesn't mean all that much. But at the same time, like LeBron said, your legacy does mean something after all. And LeBron certainly has one.
Wow, we ended the show. I thought this would be a 2-minute warning defending Belichick for the Bengals video, but
I don't need to do that. There's another non-scandal,
that's coming,
bro.
We
can do a whole hour on that tomorrow if you want.
There we go. All right, that'll do it for the show. Thanks again to our producer, Sean Guastamacchia. For my co-host, Joe Pisapia, I'm Craig Mish. We'll be back tomorrow right here, noon Eastern, on FNTSY Radio. So long till then. Enjoy Monday Night Football, and good luck if you still have some possibilities tonight in fantasy. Talk to you tomorrow. Have a great day, everybody. See ya.
If you're feeling anxious, stressed, or lonely in these difficult COVID times, call CalHOPE at 1-833-317-HOPE to talk to someone who can help. That's 1-833-317-4673. Hope will persevere. If you're feeling anxious, stressed, or lonely in these difficult COVID times, call CalHOPE at 1-833-317-HOPE to talk to someone who can help. That's 1-833-317-4673. Hope will persevere.
John Daly here. You know what day it is? Neither do I. I live life daily. That's why I only spin on Moto Casino. Moto's got daily free bonuses, daily tournaments, new slots added daily. And the best part? Guaranteed daily jackpots. You can't beat that. So today's the day you grip it and spin it with me on Moto, America's social casino. Play for free on Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.